WDIY Allentown, 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Many choices, real voices.
The number of stars climbing toward mercy. We all have somewhere to be. Like fathers moving quietly in other lives. Better scripted in bright pink deck chairs laid against the wall. Just our luck, a colossal sneer. Like growing and snapping monsters we can prove by citing the rare and suburban. That from a Bucks County Community College student bent to earth. You see, they start with one of the writer's randomly selected poems. They improvise the right reading through audience suggestion. They follow different threads, juxtapositions, and themes, finding new connections until they finally come to an end. Where they are headed, it is unknown. They have created a cento. They are exceptionally unique. They are known as No River Twice, Poetry and Improvisation, and they are with us today. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today with Hayden Saunier, a poet, actor, and educator, and founder of No River Twice, and with Cleveland Wall, a poet, editor, and performance artist. Hayden, incidentally, is a poet laureate of Bucks County and has appeared in the television series House of Cards and The Sixth Sense. She has appeared on stage at our favorite People's Light and Theater Company, Interact Theater, The Arden in Philadelphia, and has published four collections of poetry. Cleveland is a poetry workshop leader, a book consultant, and award-winning poet, and is host of a new poet series at the Allentown Arts Collective. We welcome you with open arms.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
It's great to have you guys here, and I can't wait to attend the event at the Ice House. If we might start with that, No River Twice is going to be at the Charles Brown Ice House in Bethlehem on June 15th at 1 o'clock for performance. We'll find out a little bit more about what that entails.
Oh, wait, well, the time is actually noon to 2.
Noon to 2, forgive me, noon to 2 on June 15th, Saturday, June 15th. Let's start with No River Twice. Why the title? It's intriguing. Tell me where that comes from.
No River Twice comes from a Heraclitus quote. That always sounds like a disease, but no. A Heraclitus quote, which is essentially, no man steps in the same river twice because it's not the same river and he's not the same man. So essentially that no experience that we have is ever the same because just as the river's not exactly the same river, we're not exactly the same person. And we embody that pretty much in this reading because no reading that we do is ever the same twice, even remotely.
Nope.
And could you tell our listeners a little bit more about why that is? What's a reading like? If I go to the Ice House on Saturday, June 15th, between noon and 2, I don't need to bring a poem. I'm in the audience. You're a consortium, a group of poets. You'll take the stage, and what happens?
Well, the first poem is going to be chosen randomly. Sometimes it's chosen by whoever has the nearest birthday is going to read the first poem. And then we have an audience member choose a number, and the poet goes to that page of their book. And that's the starting poem.
So what we have is a group of poets, five or six poets. We start this way with one of their poems, and the poem is read, everyone listens to the poem, both the poets and the audience, and hear various things in it, and then decide what poem we want to hear next. And poets will offer up a poem that connects in some way to the poem that we just heard. And the audience will say, oh, that's what we'd like to hear. And everybody we agree on the choice. The next poem is read, and it continues on that way, so we don't know where we're starting and we don't know where we're ending, but what happens is amazing connections start simply arise, coming up. Sometimes they're connections of words or themes or all kinds of it's all kinds of different ideas come up, and we negotiate our way through, and it's incredibly surprising and a lot of fun.
And what was the spark that spurred this? Where did this come from?
Well, I think
what inspired
anyone probably has had this experience if they've been to a poetry reading in which there's more than one person reading. But for me, I was reading with two poets I'd never read before at the Virginia Festival of the Book, and we all suddenly were reading poems in which pigs occurred, and we all got giddy, and the audience got giddy. And one was I read a poem about a Smithfield ham, and another guy read a poem about a wild pig running through a graveyard in Texas, and another person wrote about a feast in Papua New Guinea in which a pig was served. And suddenly we realized that all these connections really enriched the experience of the reading.
That's interesting. And so in the model that you're using, No River Twice, the audience is giving input right away to what they responded to that they heard. I like this, or I'm interested in that, or I want to hear about a pig, or I want to hear about a neon pink lawn chair again. And say, well, I don't have that, but I have pink. Or is that the flow?
Right. And they could ask for silver, and none of the poets can think of any poems with silver in it.
Right.
And then down the line, there are like three or four poems where it turns up. You didn't know you had a silver poem, but there it is.
Exactly. Like that word will suddenly be repeated, and everybody will start just rolling their eyes because it seems almost magical the way it works.
And how does that... What's the reward for you? Is it the audience's experience of the reading and the response? What is that response like? Is it what they expect when they come in? What does it feel like as the performer and the reader?
I don't know what the audience expects. I mean, I hope they're not expecting a traditional poetry reading because it's really not that. But
well, I do know that one of the most gratifying comments that we seem to get, and I think Cleveland will agree with me, is people will say, that was really great. I did not expect to like that. Or because very often, people are forced and dragged to go to poetry readings, and that's really one of our missions, is to make poetry readings fun and invigorating and connective and communal in ways in which we have come to just feel as though we've been taken hostage half of the time when we go. So that's, I think, one of the things that I find really gratifying is a response that people either are enjoying poetry, they want to write poetry, they want to connect in this way.
Mm. I'm curious, who is the creator of this cento, this piece, since it is devised by several poets?
Yeah, how does that happen?
Well, the cento piece
at the end of a session,
usually we'll have, in a given performance, we'll have two sessions. So at the end of the first session, one of the poets will take the connecting lines, whatever the line was that triggered the next poem, and knit those all together into one poem. So it sort of is a map of the journey we've taken on that section.
So, but it is still a collaboration of several poets.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that cento poem is made out of probably 16 different lines that came from five different poets.
So facetiously, T.S. Eliot would not want to be one of those people.
Oh, he stole from everyone.
But so... And then the poem is, in a sense, been created in part by the audience as well in their responses to your work.
That's the point, is that between the audience and the poets together, they have made a group poem, a collage poem of the experience of everybody's choices.
Mm-hmm. A feeling that must be for each one of those poets to be a part of another poet's thinking.
Yeah, it's funny. When you hear the cento, you can pick out, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, which parts were from your poem.
Huh.
And then you see it turned in this different way. Mm-hmm. It's really neat.
I was going to say, if for the audience, for the listeners, this is a really fresh and communal and comfortable and joyous experience, What is it for you guys? How does it feel different for you than a typical poet or more traditional poetry reading? And what has surprised you, or what have you learned from it that you didn't expect?
Well, I feel like it's harder and easier than a regular reading. On the one hand, you have to be like thinking on your feet. It really requires active listening, and it's kind of hard in that way. But it's also really fun, and there's no nervousness at all. I don't feel nervous because I have a bunch of other poets with me. I mean, we could probably take them.
I think that it feels as though one's able to kind of improvise in a way that normally, as a writer or as a poet, you don't get to interact, and you don't get to interact directly with an audience or talk to them so much directly or talk to your fellow poets. I think we're all kind of always having conversations with other poets or other ideas in your poetry, but this makes it happen really directly and vibrantly and in the moment. And so it's that, I think it's the communal nature of it that I find really gratifying, that it feels like we've come together in a collaboration, which is, of course, what theater is. Mm-hmm. But this is a lot more efficient, a lot less wieldy, a lot less expensive to produce, and has all of those things going for it. And yet, at the same time, there is that wonderful sense of being surrounded by your cohorts and your audience and everyone participating.
Well, there is no doubt that No River Twice is an experiment in how to bring playfulness and communal participation into the realm of poetry readings. That's what it's all about. And I am curious, too. Now, this is going to occur on Saturday, June 15th, from noon to 2 p.m. at the Ice House in Bethlehem. Typically, how many poets or how many people would be there to do this? The poets are kind of shy people, but yet they're
That's
performers
stereotype.
In their own way because they have to get their work out. So how long might this be? How many poems might be participating, or poets rather?
There's usually about six poets at any given time.
Kind of per round. There are 11 poets in our group, and we do now have some people who come and will sit in as a guest poet. But we found that within kind of around 5 to 6 poets is plenty. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just kind of unwieldy. So if all 11 poets are there, everyone will take a different. They'll be in one round, or they'll be in the second round, first round or second round.
And there's a moderator as well, just to keep it from
one of
too
us.
Giddy.
We all take turns stepping in and out. And
amazing. And the flow of the style of the poem is anywhere from humorous to very serious to very maybe political.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
It goes all over the place.
Everybody's, and I think people learn very quickly that everybody's voice, everybody's poetic voice, is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's style is different, and there's a wide variety of subject matter. So, in fact, for the audience, if there's one poem you don't like, the next poem you might, you will, or you might love.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's very fast moving in a kind of fun, playful way. Yeah. Hayden, I'm just curious, speaking of theater and the sense of starting this, how did the group begin? How does your life as an actress influence this? And because you're a poet and a theater person both, which is an interesting mix for this.
Right. Well, I do think that poets are often very non-theatrical and could use a little more, stage sense in terms of what's happening. So for me, it was a way to bring that sense of collaboration, too. I keep using that word because it's something that I miss as a poet that I've always had as a performer.
Yes,
miss collaboration.
Yes. Well, with the recent interest and resurgence of the words in the works of Hilda Doolittle, H.D., we look at the Imagist poets associated with the earliest 20th century avant-garde group. And now we see No River Twice, exhilarating creations of poetry and its presentation of collaboration with other artists. More about No River Twice right after this salient message.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1, Allentown. We are chatting with Hayden Sanye and Cleveland Wall on the upcoming poetic performance offering from No River Twice, Saturday, June 15th at noon to 2 p.m. at the Ice House in Bethlehem.
And I would add, before we go any further, that there is a website, norivertwice.org, beautiful website that I encourage our listeners to check out, see what's coming up with No River Twice, read the bios of the poets, read a little bit about what the mission and the vision of the group is. It's beautifully rendered, as I would, it does not surprise me, from poets and artists.
And you can look at the Cento poems there, right. And also some of the whiteboard art that our audiences have been leaving us, which is a new thing that we've just discovered, because we change it every time. There's always something new, and we've added offering the audience whiteboards to doodle on or to write on, because some people don't feel comfortable, you know, calling out. And that's just, that has brought about a whole other realm of, you know, artwork that we did not expect. It's great.
Right. That is pretty fun.
So whiteboards, that's fascinating. And we have coming this Saturday, June 15th, we'll have two guest poets as well. They're local poets. Cleveland, could you tell
yes.
us a little bit about who's coming aboard?
Well, we're also having Ann Michael join us. Probably many local people are familiar with her work. She has several books out, and she actually came to a No River Twice reading at the Chestnut Hill Gallery. And was that where it was?
No, she came in Phoenixville when we were in Phoenixville last year.
But she was like star audience member.
Oh, she was wonderful. She was so enthusiastic and so much fun to have in the audience.
Right, and we love her work.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Since we're here in the Lehigh Valley,
yeah,
I asked Anne to sit in with us, and also Matt Wolf, who does a different kind of improvisational show. He's been doing these experimento shows where poets are brought in with dancers and musicians and painters. So he hasn't seen what this show is like. I've just told him about it, but he's a sport.
Well,
I think he'll be all right.
And usually what often we've done, Anne has seen us before, but when we have a guest poet sit in, we've only done it once.
Yeah, this is only the second time.
This is a new thing that we're beginning to try, is that we have them watch the first round and then sit in the second. Yeah. And that way then they really get a sense of what we're doing.
Yes.
Right.
As both poets, both of you are poets, and Cleveland, I may ask you first, and then Hayden, I'll ask you, your process in creating a poem. Outside of a cento, yeah. Yes. Is found in observation, I understand. But how yet do you put this poem together? What happens?
I think it usually starts with a line. And as far as coming out on the page, it usually tumbles around in my head for a few months. I'm really like a slow percolator kind of poet. And then a line will be the way into it, which would be like the sound of the poem. And then I just follow that and see where it's going. And then that's all written out longhand. And then a kind of formal edit happens when I transcribe it onto the computer, where it gets tidied up and tightened up.
Mm-hmm. And what about you? How is a poem created in your mind?
Well, if I knew the recipe, boy, I'm much like Cleveland. Very often, it's a line or a rhythm or an image that starts it, and then I'll gather that up. Sometimes I'll have time to try to work on it that day. Sometimes I just jot it in a notebook and hope to get back to it. But it's kind of a little dance that one does because you don't want to push it too hard. I know I have just ruined beautiful poems that were offering themselves to me because I tried so hard to pin it down real fast. But I think they just go off to other people who do a much better job of it. I really do. So I try. It's very much that you begin and then you work from that piece, whether it's an image or a sound or a rhythm, and try to follow along.
Mm-hmm. And Cleveland, as an editor, and book consultant, I noticed that some of these creations are really wonderful. But what are you doing to help the person as an editor convey their
Someone
image
else's work.
Fully? From what would be the process?
I'm very careful about telling people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell people what to do with their poem. But I can tell them what is not coming through.
Ah.
So I can identify places where they're just not connecting. And maybe suggest some possible ways. But I like to stay out of the creative part of it because, you know, nobody wants someone like holding their hand on the pen. So, I would say that's the...
Okay.
The main thing to do is just
It's amazing because what you are both doing, what No River Twice is doing, is opening a new door to poets and to writers and thinkers who can find a different way to express themselves with other people at the same time.
Absolutely. It's a communal kind of group experience. And as we've discussed, or we see some of the Centos are really inspiring, and they certainly inspire me to be more playful and loosen up my work sometimes because of the beauty and the swiftness with which all of these lines come together into making something completely new.
Could you, do you have any with you, any of the Centos that are products of the readings?
We do.
Excellent. So glad you asked.
I'd love to hear one or two.
Okay.
You go first there.
Okay, I'll read mine first. Kingdom come. Shh, God said when Eve held the apple out. Poison or no, chartreuse walnuts on Buttonwood Street. Stiff sheets, newly folded. You can learn a lot about people. Maybe kindred kooks of a moment ago. Sideshow freaks jammed into a jar. Adam proposes. Takes the old viola, rests in a tree. What seems like 1,000 cranes pass. Mourning doves undercover. Enclosed like a house coat. Access to the pill, some blood on a wire. The exquisite itch of summer.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a cento we did in Phoenixville. That was that Phoenixville reading.
Mm-hmm. And that was a collaboration, what would you say, of 5 or 6 poets?
From their
work.
We
had a bunch of us there that
time.
Yeah,
there were probably 8 poets there. And that's it worked out fine. It always does, but that's when we began to think we needed to scale back in each round to about, you know, 5
right.
or 6.
Another, please.
And this is one we did. I think this is the first one that we did in Chestnut Hill, where we were reading in an art gallery there. You can try. Whatever measure offered goes up, unraveling bonfires. The road lingering everywhere, the original thrill, the naked body, drink deep. Your taproot, rabbit cages shattered, perpetual posture, letting go, a luscious ache. The thing about work is, you try to feel it keenly in everybody's shoes.
I got it.
And just to clarify for our audience, it's not just different poets' work. These are literally lines taken from each of the pieces read that evening in response to the audience's interest in theme and words and connective tissue, so to speak. And each poet says, this is the line that jumped, or this is the line that connected for me. And right. then an editor, so to speak, or one of the poets weaves this together by the end of the evening.
Exactly. And usually we will read the first cento from the first round before the second okay. round. And then often we'll try to get to the second cento, but what we usually do is the audience gives us emails and we mm-hmm. send the centos out to everybody in a day or two mm-hmm. afterwards mm-hmm. when we have a little bit of time to finish it all up.
I was kidding before with you when we were talking before the show. And that was, what if someone comes with a limerick or a rhyming poem? It would be quite a challenge, wouldn't it?
It really, well, it's trying to create. If it seemed like the right thing at the moment,
no.
If there were a way to do it, I think that if we discovered that the lines as we were writing them, because as you read your poem, you write down the line that connected. If they began to rhyme, whoever was putting the cento together that evening might go that way.
Yeah.
We've also talked about how fun it would be to take all the lines and everybody put together a cento, and you would get five or six completely different poems composed out of the same lines, which is another kind of really wonderful way to look at it. Or, you know, give the lines to the audience and have them do it. It's mm-hmm. the sense that almost anything is possible.
That's really wonderful. We're running out of time. I just want to remind the audience that it is this Saturday, June 15th, noon to 2, at the Charles Brown Ice House in Bethlehem. It's free admission. Come with your hearts and imaginations open. George, you're
And if this if this is is this the last one of the summer?
The summer's just starting, dear.
I know, but I think the next one is in October.
That's
in
right.
Right.
That's right.
We so are. This is the last.
This
time
is
you
the
can
last
really
for the summer. We're going to take the summer off.
Yeah. Right. So we want to remind people of that. It's June 15th, noon to 2 at the Ice House, River Street in Bethlehem. The next one is October 18th at the Community Arts on Bridge Street in Phoenixville. So we hope that you get to one or two of these fantastic creations. The cento with the No River Twice. We were chatting with Hayden Sonye and Cleveland Wall on the upcoming poetic performance offering No River Twice. Thank you very much. Special thanks to Neil Heaver, our technical engineer tonight. And remember, this is WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, 88.1, Lehigh Valley Art Salon, Many Choices and Real Voices.